chapter, we'll read verse number 15. And then we'll skip down to verse 21. Verse 15 of John, the 14th chapter. The Word of God says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Now that verse is slightly mistranslated, and it's understandable why it is, because in this particular statement, the form of the verb could go either direction. It sounds as if, by reading it in the translation I'm using this morning, the King James Version, it sounds as if there is an option here. If you love me, then the command, keep my commandments, which suggests the options, it's possible to not keep his commandments and love him. But really, the correct translation of this would be, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's not an imperative verb. It's an indicative verb. It simply states reality. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. The reason we know that, because, as I said, that verb could be translated either direction, but when you go down to verse 21, the matter is settled once and for all. So look at the 21st verse. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Now that's something, isn't it? Only certain people, he says, will experience the love of the Father and the love of Jesus Christ and the manifestation of Jesus Christ in their lives. Judas saith unto him, verse 22, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Verse 24, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." We could look around in this Sunday morning crowd at this auditorium, almost full of people, and we could say, in this number, in this group, who's for real here? Or who is it that just has a sham of religion? Who are the genuine articles in a congregation like this? On a given Sunday morning across this country, as church folk get together all across America today at this hour and gather in the name of worshiping God and then disperse to their own lives, how do we know who means it and who doesn't? How do we know who's genuine and who's a fake? How do we know who's really going to heaven when they die and who will not? Well, according to the Word of God, there is a clear test to tell us who's for real. We sang this morning a love song to Jesus, one of my favorites. I love to sing love songs to Jesus. I'm convinced that one of the things we need to do better in Baptist church is not sing so many songs about the Lord and sing more songs to the Lord. Tell him what we think of him, how much he means to us. Worship him, praise him. And we sang this morning, "I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice." But do you know, according to the scriptures that we've read, loving Jesus shows up in more places than just songs that we sing. According to the Word of God, the fruit of love is obedience. And that's point one in a two-point message. The fruit of love is obedience. Jesus said it four times in the verses that we read together, four different statements of the same basic principle, and that is, love for Christ always produces obedience to Christ. To state it differently, obedience is the sure sign of love's presence. That's how we know who's for real. Those who obey God are the ones who are for real. The true to life test, the touchstone of the presence or the absence of love for Jesus Christ, is obedience to the commandments of Jesus Christ. And of course, the flip side is also true. The dead giveaway that I do not love Jesus is that I am not obedient to what I know His Word teaches. So here is the indicator. Everything hinges on the phrase, If a man love me, found there in the 23rd verse. That's perhaps the shortest, briefest summarization of the truth we're preaching on. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Now, how often do we give Jesus lip service, especially in church houses and worship services? I love the Lord, we say, and we sing, I love you, Lord. But Jesus replies to us when we say it and when we sing it. I hear the words of Jesus echoing back. I know whether or not you really love me. I have a foolproof thermometer that measures the temperature of your profession. If you love me, the lifestyle habit, the habit of your life will be obedience to my word. Jesus said in Matthew 15, you may recall this statement. He said, this people honors me with their lips and draws near to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Talk is cheap, in other words. This principle is echoed in a slightly different way by the half-brother of Jesus, James, who wrote that wonderful, tough, pointed book in the latter part of our New Testament. James said in chapter 2 and verse 17, so then, faith without works is dead, being alone. And then in verse 19, he said, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Well, that's the same principle. He substitutes words, but it means the same thing. He said, if your faith has any genuineness to it, it will produce works. Well, Jesus said, if your love has any genuineness to it, it will produce obedience. Love without obedience is dead, being alone. Love that doesn't produce obedience is not the real article. It's like costume jewelry. It may look the same from a distance, but to a trained eye, it becomes immediately obvious that there's fakery here. There's counterfeitness taking place. 1 Samuel 15, our Lord said, Jehovah God, which is the same voice of Jesus, said in the Old Testament, through Samuel his prophet, to Saul, who was king of Israel. When Saul said, justifying his disobedience, I brought these back to worship with. Saul was making all kinds of professions of his love for God and his desire to please and worship God. And Samuel put a stop to it and drew the bottom line when he said, Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. Meaning you can never be religious enough to justify the fact that you are disobedient to the clear command of the Word of God. True love always has practical manifestation. Now this is a larger principle than just this one passage. This stretches throughout the Word of God. But real love for anyone, but especially for Jesus, of course, doesn't begin and end in mere emotional or ecstatic sentimentality. Jesus didn't say, if you love me, you'll have goosebumps running up and down your spine and you'll feel all mushy inside. Although that's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. We just come out of a couple of meetings where we felt a little mushy and goosebumpy. And I'll tell you, I like that. I'm glad I've got an emotional salvation. When God saved me, it affected my emotions. Now, like one fellow said about Baptists, he said there's one verse in the Bible could be rewritten for most Baptists. Jesus said many are called and a few are chosen. We could rewrite it and say many are cold and a few are frozen. Amen. And I know what that's like, brother. I'm celebrating today my 350th revival and Bible conference. This is a hallmark meeting for me, number 350. I've looked at a lot of folk like you down the gun barrels of the pulpit. And I know what it is to preach to folk that are not only cold, but bless God, plumb frozen. Amen. But I'm glad that when God saved me, He did something to me that affected my emotions. I get happy in Jesus, and I get excited in the Lord. And there are times when I get in His presence, and His reality begins to impact me in such a way that the scalp of my head tingles like electricity is running over me. And I begin to well up with tears and sometimes even begin to shout a little bit. I've been in times like that, but that is not the real test of love. You can have all of those emotional overtures, and yet if you're not obeying God in the real world of everyday life, then your love is false. Your profession of love is fake. It's not real. It's counterfeit.
Like the old preacher said, it's not how high you jump on Sunday. It's how straight you walk when you land on Monday. That's what we're talking about. Love is essentially a practical thing. And if it's genuine, it will always manifest itself in practical ways. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. The best example of love's practicality is found in God's love for us. Our love for him is merely a reciprocation of his love for us. He began the deal. We don't start it. We don't initiate it. God initiates it. The Bible says here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave himself a propitiation for our sins. The love of God manifested itself in practical ways. It caused him to give his life so that we could be saved from our sin indebtedness. The same thing is true as we reciprocate that love. Our love for him is always manifested. There is an unbreakable tie, and this is one of the great principles of this passage. There is an unbreakable tie between Christ and his word. Did you notice that? The liberal says, I love Jesus, but I disrespect the Bible. Oh, no. There is an unbreakable tie between Christ and his word. He said, if you love me, that will be shown by how you relate yourself to my words, which, of course, is the word of God, the scriptures, the Bible, my commandments. To love Jesus is to love the law of God, the word of God, the printed Bible that you hold in your hand. I worry about Baptists who don't love the book, who don't carry it around, who don't read it, who don't weep over it and absorb it into their hearts and desire above all else that they might be obedient. Jesus is to be caught up in the Word of God, wanting to know, what does God say? What does God desire? What does the Lord Jesus seek to be found in my heart? To obey Jesus is to keep his commandments. His words or his instructions are merely the extension and the expression of himself. They are the expression of his mind and his will and his nature. We cannot claim to know God and to love Jesus while neglecting and or rejecting his precepts. Now you say, why are you talking about this on a Sunday morning? Because, ladies and gentlemen, do you know that we have people who fill our Baptist churches on Sunday morning that we never see again the rest of the week, for whom the Word of God has no practical impact in their everyday life and how they behave and how they act at school or on the job or in their family situations? The Word of God has no real interest in their lives and impact on their lives, and yet they would say if they were asked, sure, I love Jesus, but I'm saying to you that is a lie. It is impossible to love Jesus and not be concerned above all else in keeping his commandments. And I may say to you, there is no room for people in heaven who do not love Jesus. Only God lovers are going to heaven. Only those who love his appearing, Paul said. Psalm 1 says this, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Is your delight this morning in the law of the Lord? If you love Jesus, then you've got to be delighting in his law. He said, if you love me, you will keep my words. And how can you keep what you don't know? Therefore, loving Jesus puts within you a desire to search out the Word of God and know what Jesus desires. 1 John chapter 2, the Bible says in verses 3 and 4, hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him. Now here's the guy who makes a profession of faith. I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's the word of God. That's straight out of the Bible. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that makes a habit of doing the will of my Father who is in heaven. So love's obedience always springs from its personal devotion to the Lord Jesus as personal Lord. We keep His commandments not simply to keep ourselves occupied, but because they are His. And He means everything to us. And so we want to please Him above all other things. If our love for Jesus is genuine, then we're going to strive to obey His words, and may I add a parenthesis, even in His physical absence. Though He is physically absent from us, now He is spiritually present with us. I would hope that you would know that this morning. But physically, He is absent from us. The Bible says He has gone to prepare a place for us. And one day He is coming again. So right now we are in His physical absence. I have a feeling that many of us would live very differently if Jesus were physically present with us. I was in a pastor's home a couple of years ago. He had a sign on his television, on top of his television, that has stayed with me. It said, "Nothing will be viewed on this television that we would not be happy to watch if Jesus were sitting on the couch beside us." Now that's a good philosophy. What he's saying is, we want to live in such a manner that we would be proud for Jesus to be accompanying us physically in what we do, and hearing us as we speak, and viewing with us as we watch this television. If we genuinely love the Lord, we're going to be as loyal to Him and to His Word in His physical absence as we would be in His actual presence. That's why Paul said, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." Whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Love's obedience, you might note also, is the all-inclusive kind. Jesus said, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." And the plurality indicates all-inclusiveness. We won't strive to obey only some of His words, or just a few of His commandments, or perhaps only those which seem to be the least demanding or the most comfortable and convenient to our lifestyle. We have in the 20th century, the tail end of the 20th century, we have in our churches a dangerous, deceptive kind of religion that I call cafeteria Christianity, whereby we walk down the aisle. You know what a cafeteria is? It's a fat guy's paradise. You walk in, put your tray on the slide, and you slide down in front of all of that that's laid out in front of you, and no one tells you what you have to eat. You don't have to pick anything that's prepackaged on a menu. You construct your own meal. You are sovereign over your meal. You can get 12 bowls of nanner pudding if that's what you want to, and nobody's going to make you eat the green beans. I mean, it's totally up to you. And that's the way many of us approach the Lord Jesus and Christianity. We put our tray on the slide and we walk down the aisle and we say, "Well, I want a big double helping of that peace that passes all understanding. And I want a bowl full of that joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I want a heap and helping of that abundant life. But oh no, now, I'm going to have to pass on that tithe and offering. I've got a delicate digestion. I can't take that soul winning and visitation. I can't take that witnessing. Oh no. And God forbid that I take that faithful church attendance. I'm just going to make my own meal up as I go along." That's not loving Jesus. That's loving self. That's having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Loving Jesus says, "I want to do everything, anything, all things that please Him well. I want to obey Him in every area of my life." And when I come upon something, and I dare say, we laugh at that silly illustration, but I dare say there are people under the sound of my voice who would say, "Yes, I love Jesus," and yet tonight when Sunday night service rolls around, you'll be in your barca lounger in front of the television set instead of in the house of God. Yet the Word of God says very plainly, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but edify one another." And so much the more as you see the day approaching, the closer we get to the second coming of Jesus, the more important it is to come to church faithfully. And now I know when I say that, somebody says, "Well, the Bible doesn't say you're supposed to come to church two times a week or three times a week or however many times. The Bible doesn't say we got to do that." No, that's right. The only example we have in the Bible of church attendance is in Acts chapter 2, where the pastor read this morning, and the Bible says they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. So if you want to start throwing Scripture around, Scripture says have church every day, which, by the way, we're going to do through Thursday night of this week. We've got folks in the sound of my voice who would say, yes, I love Jesus, but they don't tithe. They don't give 10% of their income to the work of God, which is a bare minimum, by the way, not a maximum. We act as if in our day, if we can get somebody up to giving 10%, we've arrived. Folks, that's baby talk. That's goo-goo gaga stuff in the spiritual realm. That's the very basics of spirituality. Then beyond that, you grow up to be a man of God or a woman of God. We've got folk who would say, if they were asked, yes, I love Jesus, and yet they've not witnessed to any lost person in years, which is in direct violation of the command of God. Dear friend, do you understand what I'm saying? Surely you do. Professing love for Jesus is not a ticket into heaven. Saying you love God does not mean that you do. Talk is cheap. Anybody can say it. If you mean it, it affects how you behave. It affects your life. Well, that's point one of a two-point message, but that's all I'm going to preach on. May God give us grace to obey. Do you love God this morning? Do you understand? Do you understand very plainly that if you do not love God, you are not right with God? You're not safe from the judgment of God if you do not love Him. What have you done with His Word and with His will? It begins in salvation as you obey the gospel by repenting of sin and receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It goes on from the point of salvation to become a lifestyle habit of total submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, I can't make you love Him. That's your decision. But I beg you this morning, not for my sake, because frankly, I've made my choice. And I intend to live it out with all of the energy God gives me till my dying breath or till Jesus comes. I've made my choice. And I've made the right one. That's why I'm where I am this morning. Because I've chosen to love Him with all of my power and obey Him with all of my strength. But I say to you this morning, I beg you this morning, for your sake, not for Jesus' sake, because He can get along just fine without you and without me. I beg you for your sake. Don't be one of those people that the Bible talks about when it says they are lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. Every human being faces a choice, and every human being makes a choice, either to love God supremely and therefore obey God with everything that they have, or to love themselves and to love pleasure more than loving God and pleasing Him. And your eternity hinges on which choice you make. Stand with me, please, as we pray. Blessed Jesus, the Word of God is so pointed. We can tap dance around things in our religious ways. We can use high-sounding words and phrases, but when we cut the fat off and get down to the bottom line is dealt with in our passage. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Now, I pray this morning, Lord Jesus, specifically, that you would rebuke the blinding influence of the devil off of the hearts of men and women and young people. That we would see ourselves as you see us and as the Word of God describes us. We would no longer pretend and play act and try to fake it till we make it. God, help us to get real this morning by falling in love with Jesus, choosing to love Jesus above self and above the pleasures of this sinful world, and therefore committing ourselves to being obedient by His grace and power. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. God speaks to you. You come this morning while we give an invitation.